Okay, very good. I think I hear myself, so. Good afternoon, everybody. We are gathered in the 12th floor of the State Capitol for an informal hearing on case number PU-21-10, the Great Plains Natural Gas Cost of Gas 2021 case. It's about 2:30 on July 8th. And I'm Commissioner Julie Fedorchak. Joining me are Commissioner Randy Christman and Brian Crotius. So we have a quorum. I don't have any opening comments. Do you, Commissioner Christman?
Not really opening comments. I'm wondering if the filing that came in and is part of docket number 19 is the exact same as one of these that's laid out for us today, or if these are different.
Well, that's a good question. Same?
They're different.
Oh, they're different. Okay. Just to keep us on our toes, huh, Travis?
So maybe when someone's talking, they'll need to point out for sure which one we're talking about.
I'm assuming you'll go with the one today, so we can ditch the other one.
Okay. Nothing else. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. I'm going to turn it over to you shortly, but first we'll introduce staff. We have Victor Shook from our staff here, and that's it. Flying solo. You had to turn your mic on, though. All right. So the applicant goes first, so we'll kick it over to MDU here shortly. But Commissioner Crotius, do you have any opening comments? And then you can kick it over to them.
Okay. Good afternoon. Welcome, everyone. This is, for all intents and purposes, the third one that we've reviewed. There was a fourth small player in the mix as well, but the third that I would say substantial review of the pricing event from February. So it's interesting to see the different comparisons between the different companies, and Great Plains lands essentially in the middle in terms of impact to customers. So I'll be really keen to hear how you fared better than another counterpart in the eastern part of the state. And maybe there's lessons to be learned, if you will, from a pricing strategy standpoint. So that's all I have. Look forward to hearing the information and asking some questions along the way or at the conclusion.
So, and you can all introduce yourselves too for the record.
Okay. Well, thank you and good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Allison Mann, in-house counsel with MDU Resources Group, representing Great Plains here today. I can have each of my counterparts here introduce themselves.
Garrett Sanger with Great Plains, representing Great Plains.
Kevin Connell, representing Great Plains.
Travis Jacobson, also with Great Plains.
And Sean Newsma with Great Plains.
Okay. Tara VC with Great Plains.
Okay, well then I'll start out here with just a short opening statement. We are here today to discuss Great Plains' request to implement a change to its gas cost reconciliation as a result of the significant natural gas price increase due to the cold weather event in February of 2021. Specifically, Great Plains is requesting a change to the GCR effective August 1st with an extended time frame recovery for 22 months. This change is intended to mitigate the impact of cost recovery from customers while maintaining the financial integrity of the utility. Great Plains would like to start the hearing by providing a short presentation to the Commission addressing its gas supply purchasing strategy. Leading this presentation will be Sean Newsma. The company will follow that with a second presentation with detail regarding the gas cost adjustment request. With that, I will conclude my opening remarks and turn it over to Sean. The presenters would like the Commission to know that if at any time there are questions, they invite interruption to entertain those questions.
Thank you, Allison. And before we begin, could I ask that we go to the other slide deck up on the screen? Did you get two slides or just one? Yes, please. Great, thank you. Very similar to conversations we've had before. The purpose of this presentation is to help describe how Great Plains purchases and transports natural gas to their customers, and that will ultimately lead into a discussion regarding the events that did take place in February. We'll start this presentation, just a reminder, and what is the purpose of gas supply? And it's to sustainably keep our customers' cost of gas at the most affordable price possible, while maintaining a reliability of service that meets our customer expectations. And the benchmarks that our department really uses is the natural gas costs. They should stay at or below regional market prices. And we also use a benchmark of ensuring the delivery of gas is available to all of our firm customers in any demand circumstances, including cold weather. So for this presentation, I'd like to start by describing the regional pipeline infrastructure that is used for Great Plains, and then the markets we work in. We'll define our supply options that are available to the utility. We'll present our purchasing strategy entering each heating season and each month, with some targets that we consider. And then we will provide an overview of the strategy execution during the February 2021 pricing event. So to begin, just to make sure that we're all familiar with the service territory, I hope this map is helpful. There are three primary locations from which Great Plains Natural Gas purchases its supply from. The first one I'll mention is located at the north end of Minnesota, at a location called Emerson. The second location that natural gas is purchased from is, it's not shown on this map, but it's in the south end of, or in Iowa, at a location called Ventura. And the third location is located in Kansas off of Northern Natural, and that is called Demark or Demarcation. Generally speaking, gas to service the North District of Great Plains, which includes the communities of, first of all, Wahpeton for North Dakota, as well as Fergus Falls, Breckenridge, Pelican Rapids, and Vergus and Crookston on the Minnesota side of our business, is purchased either at Emerson, and it'll be flowed down Viking Gas Transmission into that area. Alternatively, it may be purchased at Ventura. It flows upward on Northern Natural Gas, which is the red line here, transfers on to Viking, and flows in a backhaul fashion up to serve the communities we described. And that is, as we're specifically talking about our Wahpeton service territory, that is how customers in that area can get gas. Additionally, and we'll talk about this as we move forward, but gas is also flowed up Northern Natural from the storage location we have, which is called Ogden. As it goes into kind of our system supply of gas, that opportunity for using storage supply is also available to the North District of Great Plains, again, including Wahpeton. So there are four primary supply options that Great Plains utilizes to purchase gas. The first is a base supply. This base supply is a fixed quantity of gas purchased for each day of the month. It can be priced against either an inside FERC price, which is a first of month price. We also, on occasion when it's appropriate, we will make purchase against that fixed price offerings that we might get from suppliers. The second option is our storage. For Great Plains, for the utility as a whole, we have a total of 267,547 decatherm of capacity in storage that can be used throughout the heating season for our Great Plains customers. We have a daily withdrawal maximum of only 4,640, and that number is, it will shrink as time goes on based on our gas in place. So it's a ratcheting mechanism. So on the first day of the withdrawal season, it'll be 4,640 that we can pull out. But as the season progresses, that number will progressively get smaller and smaller.
Do you know approximately where you were at in February?
Yep, we were approximately 3,900. And those numbers will appear later on in this discussion.
Okay. When you said the heating season, but I mean, some people use some natural gas all summer too. So is it
is the big issue the heating season, or are we really talking about a calendar year here, or when does it start out at 4640?
It starts out at 4640 when we have a full 267,547 decatherm in storage, and it's after November 1st, which is where Northern Natural flips to their withdrawal season. So the ratcheting mechanisms will change from November through the end of March, and they will be different from April through the end of October.
Okay.
Our third option of supply is...
Hey, one more thing.
Absolutely.
What's the low end during the winter season? You said that ratchets down from 4640. I'm sure it doesn't go to zero. So what's the low end?
It comes out about 1,440 is where the number will come at the very end of it. And so we typically will enter April with just a little bit of emergency gas in storage in case it, you know, an April storm comes or something like that where we need to access that. The third option of supply is what's referred to as a swing supply deal. In those types of deals, Great Plains will contract with a third party to have a guaranteed supply of gas available to the utility on a on-call basis. Those deals are always priced against the day market. They're always also given a time constraint. In this case, in the contracts we just came out of for our swing supplies, that time was 7:45 in the morning. And they have those time constraints, so in the event that Great Plains elects not to call on that gas, the supplier will have the option to sell it to another party. And it's important to note that these are ratable weekends and or holidays. And what that refers to is if the utility needs a certain amount of that call gas for, say, Saturday, they'll be obligated to take that gas Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And if there's a holiday in the event we're describing, mm-hmm. there will be a fourth day. So the term ratable means you have to take the same quantity each day of the period. And the final option for procuring supply is our day gas. That's either going to be against a gas daily price or a fixed price. We agree on the quantity with the counterparties as we make those purchasing decisions. Day gas is not guaranteed. So if the market doesn't have any gas available, the utility may not have the day gas option, which is why we procure the swing supply deals. So we do have a guaranteed supply in our back pocket, say we need it. And day gas is generally also at a ratable weekends or holidays, like we described with the swing deals. So thinking about how we enter each month of the heating season, our target is to have a flowing supply available that equals 75% of our normalized demand. The number 75% has been determined to be an appropriate number in the event we have warmer than normal conditions, so our demand is lower than normal. If we were to buy 100% of our normal demand and we had a warm month, which we did have many of the months from this past heating season, our customers wouldn't be taking that supply of gas. So we intentionally go into each month with about 75%. So once we multiply our normalized demand requirement and multiply it by 75%, we'll subtract out our storage withdrawal schedule. And that storage withdrawal schedule is based on that Northern Natural ratcheting mechanism we described earlier. And we also considered forward-looking price forecasts. So typically January and February are our highest price months, so we will have higher withdrawal schedules for those months, whereas November, typically prices are still lower, and our withdrawals in November will be negligible to zero.
With the multiplier at 75%, have you ever had a surplus? Like an extraordinarily warm month?
There has been cases. I can't cite any right now, the specific years and the quantities we've overbought. It goes to there's warm months, and then there's very often warm days within those months. And so it's not uncommon for us to have, you know, maybe 10 heating degrees on a November day, and then we'd be oversupplied for those, either those individual days or subset of days, which could also cause us into penalty situations and things like that. So it's proven to be a pretty effective number to date.
That's the sweet spot in terms of procurement, standpoint for the gas.
Sean, on the daily withdrawals, that max that you identified a couple slides ago, is that set by, is that a technical max? Like that's the max you can get out, or is that the max that you can get out and still have enough to last you for the whole season?
That is a tariff schedule that has been created by Northern Natural. So that is a withdrawal schedule based on your current inventory on the day, and then your current, well, it's basically based on your entire inventory of the day.
If in an emergency, could you get more?
We could on an interruptible basis. However, in conditions such as cold weather conditions, there will be constraints to what the pipeline allows you to pull out of their storage facilities. Mm-hmm. So you cannot rely on anything more than what we have under contract. It would be coming out on an interruptible agreement.
Which would be the daily rate, or?
Yeah, we actually do not have an interruptible withdrawal, an interruptible storage agreement with Great Plains, or with Northern Natural Gas.
Okay.
So the graph on the right of this screen depicts where we're at during each of the calendar months. So the orange bars will represent our base supply that we procured. The green tops on those bars is our storage withdrawal targets. The lighter blue colored line will be our monthly normalized demand. So you see we're at 75% of where that line sits. And then I've also placed our design day firm demand on the very top, which is the straight line going across that is just under 35,000 that you'll see up there. So after we've determined what we want to procure from a base load or a base supply basis and what we're going to withdraw on a storage basis, then we go in and to look at our swing supplies. The first thing we'll contract for is enough swing supply to meet our total design day firm requirement, which is just under 34,000. The reason we procure this under a swing supply agreement is, again, for our firm customers, we want to make sure that we have supply available to get onto the pipe and get delivered to them. In this case, we don't contract up for our interruptible customers, but that swing is primarily for emergencies for our firm customers. And then we also have the day gas option. It's an optional supply, and what it does is allows us to choose the best price offer. Again, it's not guaranteed, but I did put an example when we might go out and purchase day gas. So if our swing supply contract, for example, this last heating season was based on a gas daily Ventura price plus 3 cents, when we go to market in the morning prior to that 7:45 a.m. call deadline, our team might get offers of a Ventura price plus 1 cent. In those cases, we would take our day gas purchases because it's a cheaper supply option. And then you'll see again with the yellow, I got the same graph up there, except I've added our swing supplies that we've contracted, and you'll see how that brings us up to our peaks, especially here in January, which is where we want to make sure we have our 34,000 or so of supply that we need to service our firm customers. So the other things, this is our values that we use for our normalized core demand over the heating season. So we start off in November with our core, and that's all sales customers, so that's firm customers plus interruptible customers, of just over 608,000 for the month of November, peaking at 761,000 for the month of January, and coming back around 544,000 in the month of March. And what you'll see in the table below is just our daily quantities. So we have about 20,000 of demand per day in November, peaking out at about 24,500 decatherm per day in January, and finally coming down to about 17,500 during the month of March per day. These values are
the values that we used in our monthly PGA estimate, which coincide with what we do on an annual basis for our annual planning. So our monthly purchase plan in this in these numbers, for November, we have $624,000 that we plan to purchase. And in parentheses, you'll see the base quantity that we purchased. And what you'll find in those numbers that is that the base quantity purchased is approximately that 75% of our total quantity that we needed. And then I've also placed in the information below is what came out as our monthly storage withdrawal targets. As I alluded to before, the month of November, we generally do not plan to take any natural gas out of storage. Again, prices are typically lower. We've got warmer weather conditions. And a very important thing about not taking gas in November is we preserve that daily withdrawal capacity because we haven't withdrawn our storage down. So the month of December, we plan to take out about $50,000 for the month of December. January was $107,000. February was almost $61,000. And then March was $26,534 was our plan. And then as we ended those months, there is some remainder, again, and that's where we go into April, and we want to keep a little safety stock just in case of April snowstorms or something like that where we might need access to that. We do end up withdrawing the entire balance of our storage before the end of April. Usually around April 15th, we have it all out. So specifically looking at our February 2021 supply stack, in other words, how did we purchase, what was the makeup of our natural gas purchases during the month. The bars are the different types of supply that we purchased. So the blue would be our base supply, which you'll see and notice is static throughout the month. Our storage withdrawal is in the orange, and you'll see that generally speaking, it is static throughout the month, with the exception of beginning on the 12th through the 17th, you'll see that it's elevated. And on those are the days where we saw colder weather coming. We wanted to protect the amount of gas that we had to go out to the day market for, so we increased our storage withdrawals up to the maximum.
So that on February 21st and 22nd, those two are pronounced in terms of no withdrawal or a very
right
small
here.
Amount?
Yep.
Was that to make up for earlier in the month and then preserve your targets going into March, or was there something else that came into play?
Precisely, Commissioner. The amount of gas, we had the target that our team is looking at for the balance of the month, and as we took out more gas in here, we got behind our inventory target, and so by not taking and reducing our storage withdrawals on these days, which would have been after the pricing event that we're here discussing, this kept us closer to target.
What happened on the 15th and 16th there? It looks like your base supply dipped a little bit.
So on those days, we had some base supply curtailments due to a force majeure called on Northern Natural. And it looks like it's a large number. It's a relatively small number in the grand scheme of things. It was a couple hundred decatherm. I don't have the exact quantity.
Yeah, looks small. I just thought it'd be good to point that out. And then what was your, looks like you peaked out on the 12th. What was that peak demand?
The peak was actually on, and it comes up later on, the peak was on the 14th with a customer demand of 33,500, so right approaching our firm peak.
Sure.
So, and that, there is some more information on that as we move forward in the slide deck.
Thank you.
And then you'll also see the other bars on this graph. What you'll notice is yellow. So leading up to the middle of the month, we were actually making day gas purchases. On those days, we had the 3 cent adder on our swing supply. And when we went to market for gas, the adders to those index prices would have been lower. And so leading up to this event, we were buying day gas. However, as we got colder and colder, that day gas opportunity was less available. Or the prices we were getting quoted from our suppliers were well above that 3 cent that we had already under contract under the swing deals. And so you'll see that we went from yellow, or our day gas purchases, to more of a green supply as we headed out the month. And then as demand came down, which is what this green line graph is, as demand came down, we we were able to transition back to finding day gas instead of relying on our swing supply. So specifically looking at the events of February 13th through the 16th, as we entered the day on Friday, February 12th, we were scheduling for gas days 13, 14, 15, and 16. That's that ratable weekend we described earlier. So the 12th would have been Friday, and then Saturday through Tuesday. And so as our team looked at the forward-looking demand forecast, we looked at and found the peak in there, which happened to be the 14th. And that's kind of the day that we have to make our purchasing decisions based on. We don't have any flexibility around that. So what we do is we take off our flowing base supply, and then we take off our maximum storage withdrawal, which we had decided to maximize our storage withdrawal of 3,944. And that put us out into a short position of 14,300, which we had to go look at our swing options or our day gas options. And there wasn't wide posting and a lot of prices prior to 7:45 a.m. However, the day gas options that we had were significantly higher options than our swings. So we naturally took our swing price deals as we had been doing. We called on 13,800 decatherm a day of swing supply for the entire weekend, and we did purchase an incremental 500 decatherm a day of day gas. And then with these outlying days, so as demand sloughed off after the 14th, our only real option was to reduce our storage withdrawals after that, because our base supply is a fixed quantity, the swing supply that we called on is a fixed quantity, and our day gas purchases are a fixed quantity. So we have to plan for that coldest day, and then as days get warmer after the 14th, we reduced our storage withdrawal so we weren't overscheduling the locations. And the supply stack, just kind of narrowing down on those 4 days, you'll see kind of exactly what I described. You'll see our base supply is fixed. Our storage withdrawal peaks out on the 14th, and it slowly comes down as we exit the weekend. And then our swing supply that we had called on stays a static number throughout. And then we had a couple little spots of day gas that we had for those first 2 days. That day gas purchase, if you're wondering where that one went, that also fell victim to some constraints that Northern Natural called and under their force majeure that got cut. In the long run, it was beneficial because we got it on the days that we needed it, and we didn't get it on the days we didn't need it, so we actually inadvertently saved some money there. So what it amounts to is the supply cost. So the big instance was the February 13th through 16th. If you look at our swing costs, in those days was about $9.8 million. I've posted the long weekend settlement prices, which for Ventura was $154.90, and for DMARC was $231.67. This pricing event carried, the bulk of it was during this long weekend, it carried into February 17th, where we were faced with the same scheduling and purchasing constraints that I've described for the weekend. Then after the 17th, prices went back to more normal pricing. And that wraps up my prepared presentation.
Going back to the February 2021 supply stack, particularly when I'm looking to see if I've got the right dates, the 4th through the 8th, In terms of the...
Right in here?
Yeah, was that in anticipation of the colder temps, just the forecast, and then believing that, or just from experience, the pricing might move up as a result of that, or is that going to look... Or is that a pretty normal... 5 day stretch if you were to look at January or look at March. In other words, was any of that triggered by just an anticipation of pricing moving up because of the colder temps? moving in?
That being the switch from yellow to green here, mm-hmm. understanding your question correctly, that is more based on market availability and what the suppliers we have provided us for quotes as we were out purchasing that gap gas.
So it wasn't a strategy that you have in place based on what the forecast is telling you?
No, the strategy in place is really about buying the, taking the most, the cheapest gas.
Yeah.
And these are the dates where we switched from a higher adder on the swing to a higher adder on the day. So we switched which gas we were purchasing. And this starts to coincide with when those temperatures in the production area, so your Texas, your Oklahoma, those types of states, really started to get cold, reaching their pinnacle, you know, in this Valentine's Day, President's Day weekend.
The swing contracts, if you would have been purchasing in the day spot market, would the green columns be higher? Would you have had to spend more?
Yep. As we look back on the options, the day gas offers that we were getting would be, and this is just a representative number, Ventura plus maybe $1 plus $2, and even more as we look at what we had on record for those days. But our swing contract was priced at plus 3 cents and plus 2.5 cents between Ventura and DMARC, respectively. So.
What do you mean plus? Like, just give me the price.
Like, well,
you have here.
Yeah, absolutely. So if I go back to our prices here.
Mm-hmm.
So our Ventura gas that we got in the swing gas we ended up with was $154.93. Whereas had we purchased gas in the day market, this number would have been $155 or something. Over
okay.
and above that. So this is the base price that our contracts are priced against. The adder is plus or minus this value.
So this isn't what you paid?
That's correct. These are the settlement prices of the index.
Why do those matter?
That is what our swing contracts for each day that we make a call decision. The gas we purchase on those days is priced against the settlement price for, in this case, Ventura or demarcation, depending on the location from which we buy it.
Okay. So the actual price you paid, which is what the customers paid, was, what was that again? It's not this.
It would have been $154.93.5
okay.
from Ventura, and it would have been $231.69.5.
Okay. And if you bought in the spot market, about a dollar more?
Give or take.
Okay.
I mean, there's, on those particular days, the market was kind of all over the place, frankly.
Mm-hmm. Is there times when the swing cost is higher than the spot market?
Yep, absolutely. And if I go to here, we'll find that our day gas purchases, when we were making them at the start of the month, that's when these bars are yellow.
Mm-hmm.
In those cases, our offered price would have been that market index plus maybe a penny, or even minus a penny, minus 2 pennies, something better than plus 3 cents. So we made the purchasing decision to buy day gas here, but when those options dried up as the conditions worsened, we had
mm-hmm.
to lean on our swing gas for supply.
And on the swing gas, are you obligated to take a certain amount of it ever, or is it just if you want it?
It's zero up to the top quantity. We could have called on up to 16,000 for this last heating season.
So why wouldn't a company have a swing contract at play? What's the downside to having it?
In some cases, swing agreements will have a reservation charge associated with their contract. So a company might have, you pay gas daily Ventura flat, no matter when you take the gas, but you pay 1 cent per decatherm per day or some reservation. This past heating season, the agreements we had did not have any reservation costs associated with them. So we weren't there was no financial reason to decide to take it or not to take it, except for whatever that settlement price adder would have been.
Okay.
So anyone have any? I think you're ready to. Are you ready to go to the next one, or do we have some more questions?
One more question on this. So, over the course of years, like say 15 years or longer, as we're using more and more gas for electric generation around the country, are you adjusting these plans? Are you seeing changes in it that on cold weather events it becomes more challenging to acquire enough natural gas at a reasonable cost, or has it not really changed much with the additional build out of wind?
Yeah, and we are seeing that the cost basis has gone up slightly this last year. We're in a very warm summer across the country. We also do see some more volatility, which relative to a decade ago is still relatively low, but there is some added volatility this summer versus last summer. As far as the strategy goes in the quantities at which we purchase, we're always looking at options about, you know, what are some better choices to make? Should we adjust, you know, our 75% and running scenarios where we're looking at that? To date, we haven't found a scenario that's more robust than the one we put in place, but we're continually reviewing that and kicking the tires, so to speak, on other options.
I see how this works. He sets the table, then you deliver the bad news for the ratepayers.
We could do it.
Yeah.
You want to do that opposite next time?
Your management material.
Okay, well, I just want to thank you for having us here today, and I just wanted to go through a couple of slides that were very similar to the slides that we went through for the MDU balance as well, but a little bit different, so I thought I'd set the stage again just to remind everybody timeline of events. The end of January, last business day of the month, we do our PGA filing. Then the middle of February, that extreme weather event hit. Towards the end of February, February 26th, we made the request to change our current surcharge adjustment to zero effective March 1st, which was implemented. And then on May 21st, we did go ahead and submit a proposal for an alternative recovery method. And so as we talk through this, like I said, last business day of the month, we filed that PGA, and that PGA is based on forecasted cost of gas. And at the end of every month, we then compare what our forecasted cost of gas is compared to what the actual cost of gas is, so that we could determine what our over or under collected balance is going to be at the end of every month. And then in June, we submit in May for implementation June 1st per our tariff, what those over and under collected balances may be as of April 30th, and how that is going to then be collected over the next 12 months. And so as we looked at this particular scenario, we went into the end of April with a under collected balance of about $600,000 for our firm customers and about $1.6 million for our interruptible customers. So we looked at a variety of options to try to determine what we thought the best way to mitigate this impact would be. The first option you can see here is that we looked at what the surcharge adjustment would be if we did not request any tariff from, or any waiver from our existing tariff, which would go from June 1st until May 31st. And you can see that based on the May filing, that would be just a little bit north of $2.05 a decatherm for our firm customers and $2.12 for our interruptible customers. So we went ahead and looked at a couple different options. We looked at the staggered approach that we had proposed for the Montana Dakota customers. And as we evaluated that, there are some differences between our Montana Dakota customers and rate classes and our Great Plains. And one of the big differences is the number of customer classes that are available. And so there are 5 customer classes available to Montana Dakota Utility customers, only 2 to Great Plains customers. And what that means is that there's more opportunity in Great Plains to have greater diversity amongst our customer base in a customer class. So for instance, you might see one customer that has a disproportional utilization of gas in the summer versus winter. And so because of that, we really felt like a staggered approach might inadvertently, kind of disproportionately affect the customer base for Great Plains. So we did kind of look pretty hard at a firm option across the board.
I have a question about this firm and interruptible. Where do most of the residential customers fall?
Firm.
All of them are in firm?
Yeah.
And who else is in firm?
Would be like firms going to be
businesses,
yeah.
Small commercial.
So if you compared to all the rate classes on the MDU side, everybody but who is in the firm, would you say? I saw that in this filing.
So contracted demand would be in firm. Yeah, it's kind of like your residential and general service. There's just potentially some seasonal, and then there's just not a contracted demand option that would probably
okay.
be more than likely in the firm customer base.
And the interruptible, is that 1 or 2 very large customers? No,
couple
hundred, and are they all business? But all businesses, what kind?
Well, it could be.
So you're going to run the gamut on that. You might have grain dryers, for instance.
Okay.
Which is a very seasonal load. And we've got a number of businesses in Great Plains. We got some fairly large businesses there.
Right.
A lot of ag related.
Yeah. Well, there's some food processors down there. And are those the interruptible?
There's some of them are firm. But most of them are interruptible, yes.
Mm-hmm. That staggered approach that we used before seemed to really help at least a lot of residential people. Who would the staggered approach in Great Plains' case impact so adversely?
A large industrial ag-related customer in Fergus Falls, for instance, who has a very high load factor profile, so they'll use the same amount in the summer as they use in the demand as they would use in the heating season. So that customer would be negatively impacted.
Double it or something,
yeah.
And it really hits them hard all summer.
Except for these rates don't affect Fergus Falls.
Yeah. Who would be in? Who would be in Wapiton?
Yep. There's one large summer
load.
Yeah. Who was that?
A large sugar factory. Or bead processing company, and their demand is 4 a day.
No, it's about 1,500 decatherms
a day.
So is this basically for one customer that we're trying to reconnoiter this?
There's a few other.
I can't name any off the top of my head, but.
Yeah, they're on the Highway 13 project, I think one of those customers, Giant.
And I think it's just the percentage of customers that don't follow just your typical heating season in Wappen relative to the total. So it's not one customer, it's just the makeup of the group relative to Montana, Dakota.
Kind of in general, you know, more business and commercial types of accounts have different usage patterns. I mean, residential uses a whole bunch in the winter and nearly nothing in the summer months. Their usage pattern is just different, so it could unfairly make certain ones of those customers have to bear a bigger burden than they otherwise should. You know, if they're using a great deal of gas in the summer relative to what they use in the winter, they're going to pay more of their fair share of this under collection.
Yeah.
And I think the second part of that. Yeah, I think the second thing, Commissioner Podorcik, is it's the magnitude, too, where we were able to do seasonal, which was just over a dollar. I don't remember the number exactly. Where here, if we go to a seasonal, we'd probably have to go to $3 or something. You know, so it'd be significantly higher. I guess maybe the disparity between summer and winter rates would be much more significant than on Montana, Dakota, just because of the overall impact.
Yeah.
So the other options that we had looked at was the potential to have a shorter time frame. We definitely heard the comments from the working group about, you know, why kick that can down the road and put off for tomorrow what we can do today. The challenge that we have there is as we look at those shorter time frames, we still are staying closer to the $2 mark than the $1 mark. So for instance, just some quick figuring that I did, a 15-month time frame, which would flow from August to October, would be between $1.80 and $1.85 a decatherm. And the 16-month is definitely a nicer option as November brings in some, you know, additional quantity, but it's still keeping us in that 165 to 175 range. And so that was kind of where we landed on the proposal. And the proposal that we submitted did have a 23-month suggestion for July 1 through May. And we did update that for the purposes of this conversation because we, obviously recognizing July 1 would not be attainable, looking at an August 1st through May 31st. And that would bring those rates to just shy of $1.04 for firm and $1.14 for interruptible customers. And so as we really get down to what I think is what I've heard is, you know, the big question is what effect is this going to have on the customer bill and how is that going to feel for them at the end of the day. And this 22-month proposal would have an average cost of about additional $7.45 a month. Obviously, those summer time frames for the residential customers when they're using fewer decatherms would be lighter than those winter months.
And did you, so if we were to look at the, like a 16-month, how would that affect these? Would it, did you say?
It's going to be somewhere around $1.70, I would, rough numbers, $1.70.
Per month, or that month, would be, okay.
Or, excuse me, a decatherm.
A decatherm, so.
And then.
That increase it by about a third.
So in January, you
I
could.
Think, I should have wrote down. I know I have the averages over here.
I have to apologize. Victor did send that to me this morning, and I did not even see it. So we could have been ready, but
so a month like January, for example, is probably going to be right around 30.
Right. Right around 25, $30.
So basically doubling what we've got here?
Well, it depends on usage.
But in January, we've got in year 215, so.
Right, and it would be about 25.
Okay.
In with the 16 month.
So this is the schedule that really starts with the impact to the interruptible customers that are going to have high usage during the summer months, et cetera. You know, ideally on the residential side, I'd like to see it balanced out so there isn't quite the impact in the summer months, or more of an impact in the summer months when their heating bills are low. Granted, their electric bills are typically higher, I understand that, but, or the shoulder months seem to, October, for example, September and October, there just really isn't a lot of impact to the bill.
Yeah, you're definitely seeing the effect of not having the staggered approach in this scenario.
You suggest we have two different applications, like the interruptibles are separate from this buying? Or?
Well, I was in the back of my mind, I was thinking, to be honest, how much of a headache is that?
We've been doing that. I think that's what the company's proposing, actually. Firm class on the previous page, the firm class has one rate and the interruptible class has a separate rate.
Right. Yeah, the rates would be, they would be flat across the year, but they are different rates.
Yep. And that's consistent with what we do with MDU and NSP, so.
And for Montana Dakota, we use just a flat rate for everything but the firm and general service.
Correct.
So then if we're doing that already, why aren't we adjusting these so that the summer is more and the winter is less?
Because Great Plains only has the two rate schedules. They don't have a residential customer class.
Right.
They just have firm. So we don't have a way to go in and separate out which your businesses and which your residential.
All right. And there are some businesses
that would be kind of unfairly burdened.
I see. Okay, I was thinking those folks were over in the other interruptible category,
sure.
But they're not.
It's going to be scattered all over. I don't know what the number of businesses in there, but
so smaller businesses, a cafe, for example, would feel more of a pinch.
Your Main Street businesses would be part of that firm category.
Yeah, they'll feel the pinch in January.
As we look at extending it out into a second winter, what kind of interest is running on their tab?
So right now, the interest that's charged is the 3-month treasury note. So I think it was 0.4%.
For the month of April, on the interruptible side, they had a $1.6 million balance, and we put $20 worth of interest on that.
Mm-hmm. I think that's actually in our laws or rules that overpayments like that have to.
It's in our tariff, I know.
3-month treasury bill.
That's a 3-month treasury rate. And
yes.
That's about 0.4%, did you say?
That's about that.
Okay.
Like Travis said, it's pretty reasonable, $20 for April off of a $1.587.
And then just ballparking, do you have any high percentage of people that do balanced billing? In Great Plains, or is it pretty low like most things we have?
I don't have a good answer for that. I guess I've never really checked. I don't know the answer.
Well, so let's say this were approved and you send out your little thing in the billing blaming the PSC. Just kidding. kind of showing this and that, you know, they're going to be paying this money back over the course of the next 22 months, and it's on a decatherm basis, and so they figure out that, geez, just when my gas bill is the most, now I'm going to get extra. This can be an incentive for them to join balance billing, and instead of paying so much of this in the two winters, to instead shift it to next summer, and it would take them a little while, but by September and October of this year, right?
It would more evenly distribute it throughout their year, absolutely.
They have that option. This would spread into that, too, if they chose to go to balance billing.
I'm still hesitant on them extending it to 2 full years. Victor, what are your thoughts on that?
I would agree. I think it's consistent with what we've talked about in the past. I mean, 1 year is always a risk of more incidents happening, but after, once that incident happens, we're cleaned up and we're ready for that to happen. With 2 years, there's a higher likelihood of something else happening. So it's certainly a concern that I share.
I don't know that the upsides outweigh that.
And I totally agree. I wish I had this number of, if we did like 14 months, what this average per month would be.
Yeah,
Do you even have just that?
In estimate? The 14 months? So like, I know in my haste with the...
We've got the 16-month coming, or it's already here.
So the 16 months would be like about 965, about is an average. The 15 months
so kind of a quick and dirty way to do this, if you just take the, so that what on whatever it is, page 3 or 4, necessary residential net recovery is $164 per customer. Divide that by however many months you want to do this.
Right.
And that's your average.
The one certainty in all of this is whether you send out a flyer or not, we'll both be equally blamed, to be honest. So, you know, customers don't like it for obvious reasons. And it's just, it's one of the unfortunate parts of the event. But it's also hard to go back to customers and explain to them that there are significant benefits to being a part of the system, and over the past decade, natural gas prices have been extremely low. But trying to show them on paper that, well, here's actually what it could have been or what other parts of the country face, but they get used to a pattern. And I think that's when I'm looking at the extension. I think it's really easy to look at these numbers from our own personal perspectives, which I can assure everyone is quite different than a low-income household. I look at it as, I don't like it. It's kind of an irritation. It's like, mm-hmm. I'd rather not, but I quickly forget about it, and it just blends into everything else. So that's how I look at it. It's not how some households look at it. So.
And I think it's fair to say that We would like to recover the under-collected balance as quickly as possible, too.
Mm-hmm.
But as we were trying to figure out the best way to mitigate the impact, that's where we were trying to think about the customer effect along with our own interest as well.
No, that's definitely appreciated.
Well, I will say that there's going to be some of this, even if we collected it all in 1 month starting in August, but... It's one thing mitigating the impact, that it's an important factor, but there's also a factor of shifting it to people who aren't responsible,
mm-hmm.
and away from people who, and maybe responsible, I'll say rather than responsible, from shifting it to people who weren't beneficiaries of getting this gas last year and away from people who were beneficiaries. And I think these numbers are just too long.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the added risk of, what if this happens again and even worse next year? And now we've left this go until that following winter, Now we have this or more again for next year and pile that on, because there's going to be people that have a great deal of difficulty paying their bills next year, the following year, and forevermore, unfortunately. And so I think we need these numbers for like 14 and 15 months as well.
We can do those.
And
well, we'll see the scenarios, and then we'll discuss it. You could sit here and listen to us debate, and you've already heard these things if you follow the other work sessions. So it's just regurgitating the same talking points, you know, frankly, for all of us. And I don't think it's a productive use of everyone's time to rehash what you've already heard. So something we can dive into in work session. Every scenario is a little different between the companies, but it's good to see that. I'd say the company's role is to provide the different scenarios as we've laid them out, and then we can make our decisions based on discussion after would be my recommendation. I think it'd be the most productive way to approach this.
I just have a couple of things. So we're already past the normal tariff time period for this. So even if we were to try to get back to the normal time period next year, we're only 10 months left. So going 16 months takes us 6 months into the next true-up period. So one thought is to adjust the true-up period in the tariff. I mean, I don't think we have to do it as part of this filing. We could simply set up, we're going to pass this back over whatever, 15, 16, however many months the commissioners choose. But in a subsequent filing, you could make that adjustment or a tariff revision request. If the company's willing to do that, I don't know. I guess what I had kind of thought is it maybe makes sense to line it up with what MDU's true-up period is. And I forget what that is. Does it start September 1?
October.
October 1. Okay. So that would give us, if we started August 1st, that's...
October would be 15 months.
15 months.
Mm-hmm.
So just something to consider, commissioners.
So let's, with that in mind, because I think that makes a lot of sense, let's make sure we get a 15-month scenario.
Right.
And if we can do that, because we'd have to, when would we have to have this determined in order to make the August 1st deadline?
Correct. So if you all chose to do that, we could have an order that approves a 15-month payback period, and then an additional ordering provision that the company will file a tariff revision to change its true-up period to start October 1st, beginning
right.
2022, and then that would be a subsequent filing.
Yeah, I get that,
but yes.
When do we have to make the decision on to meet the August 1st deadline for this tariff?
Sure, and that's a good question.
So July 28th.
Okay.
Like that.
All right. So we have
for August.
On point of reference, 15 months would be about, on average, $10.93, and that right under 11. So,
okay.
Versus the $7.45.
Yeah, got it, per month. All right, so we'll obviously, we need a special meeting, probably not being able to jam this through by next Wednesday, but if we can get those scenarios back from the company, then we can proceed accordingly.
Certainly.
We could set up a work session, talk it through, and get an order.
Okay.
So,
so
14, 15, and 16, or just 14 and 15 months?
Probably run all three, if it's not too much.
Nope.
Or that would be helpful.
Happy to do it. Happy to do it.
Okay. We have a
anything
good
else?
Idea.
I do have another
ideas.
Call here.
Pretty good ideas, as Victor said, in terms of knowing what the monthly impact is going to be. We're doing some quick math too, but seeing how it flows is nice.
All right. I think we should be pre-posted done.
I don't have anything else. I think I'll just say the presentations were very good.
I'm not sure if I'm going to remember to say this at another time, so I'm going to throw it out now, because we're certainly going to do something to recover this, and it's going to be pretty impactful for a lot of people in that area. So I do hope that when that news is delivered to your customers from the company, it just seems to me that is a great time to point out the balance billing option to lessen that impact over the course of the winter months.
We can request another insert, and even in the summertime, to go on balance billing. That'll certainly promote, and once this rate goes into effect, the customers who are interested in that. So.
Okay. All right. So does anybody object to this evidence being part of the official record, the presentations, and the recording of the discussion?
No objection.
No objection from staff.
All righty. With that, is there anything else anybody needs to add? All righty. Seeing none, the informal hearing is completed. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, thanks.
Good. Thank you. All right.